Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and good afternoon, CC friends. We welcome you to Christian Communicators Live. I'm Vonda Skelton here with my co-director, Carolyn Kinefley, and we are here in warm and sunny South Carolina. And Carolyn, can you believe that we're not sticky and humid here in South Carolina today?
It's a beautiful day, but even this summer when it does get hot and sticky and humid, I don't mind because I've fallen in love with the people here. Well, listeners, we're so glad to have you here with us today. I just want to remind you that the phone lines will be opened a little later. If you call in, our guest has books for you if you're the first caller. Vonda, please introduce our guest. I can't wait to hear more from her.
I know. Friends, y'all are so blessed today to get to hear from life coach, author, speaker, Anita Brooks. So welcome, Anita. Thank you for being here at Christian Communicators Live.
I am tickled to be with you, Vonda and Carolyn. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're excited. I can't wait for our friends to hear what you have to say. But first of all, I want to tell them a little bit about you because it's very interesting. Anita's topic today is getting through to your audience by using what you can't get over. In other words, as she says, taking the things that make you run for cover and using them to make you real and relevant to your audiences, all while glorifying God with your gifts. I just love that. And Anita Brooks motivates others to dynamic breakthroughs, blending mind, heart, body, and spirit as an inspirational business life coach, international speaker, and common trauma expert. She shares hope and encouragement on the stage and also from the page, reminding audience it's never too late for a fresh start with fresh faith. That is so cool, Anita. I love that. She is also a multi-published award-winning author. Her titles include the Reader's Favorite International Book Award winner, Getting Through What You Can't Get Over, First Hired, Last Fired, How to Become Irreplaceable in Any Job Market, and Death Defied, Life Defined, A Miracle Man's Memoir. Her titles are available at major independent bookstores as well as from online retailers. Now, Anita passionately inspires others to transform life's battles into lasting victories across the globe and on social media. So I hope you'll check out her live inspirational broadcast as Anita Fresh Faith on Periscope and recorded speaking clips on YouTube. Find out more and keep up with her latest happenings at her website, AnitaBrooks.com. So, okay, Anita, we've gotten that done. They know a little bit about you, but I want to find out more, and I want our listeners to find out more. So is it okay if we start with that first question and get this ball rolling?
Let's roll. I'm ready.
Okay. Now, in our talks, I understood that you have a life motto verse that you live by. And would you just share what that is and what made you choose that particular life verse?
My life verse is Job 13:15, and it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And that verse for me, Vonda, came from when I actually had an experience where I nearly died. And there's nothing like coming, you come to the precipice of death, and, you know, any of those wishy-washy feelings about God or the lukewarmness that we might sometimes fall into, it really falls away. And I made a commitment to him that day that I would just trust him and praise him no matter what. That was almost 20 years ago. And Job 13:15 is something just helps me to grip him no matter what I'm going through.
Wow. I cannot imagine, but I bet that would make all things much more real once you've been to that precipice, huh?
Yes, it does. It gives you real clarity.
Well, Oh, I cannot even imagine. But you and I have actually talked at length about hardships in life because we've gone through some similar things. Thankfully, I have not gone through the near-death thing, but you speak openly about your battles in adversity, and you go so far as referring to particular periods as Jobette seasons. I thought that was hilarious. And actually, I remember that you're currently going through another one right now. So I understand that you have a scripture promise that helps you when you don't feel like doing anything productive. So would you share what that promise is that you stand on?
Absolutely. And the term Jobette actually came because several years ago I was going through a season of my life where it was just one thing after another, and I couldn't even hardly get back up on my knees before it seemed like life would knock me down with something. And I had two or three different friends, completely separate instances, come to me and say, "Anita, you're just like Job right now. You know, why is this happening to you?" And at the time, you know, when you're going through that, it's hard to understand. You know, the Bible tells us all things work together for the good of those who love
right.
Him. But it's hard to understand mm-hmm. when you're in it. And so after a while, I started realizing that, yes, I was like Job, and so I started referring to myself as Jobette because, you know, it's either laugh or cry, and I'd rather laugh. So that was where Jobette came from. But then also when you look at Job's life, you read at the end of it, and I love Job 38:1 where it says, "And the Lord spoke through the storm." And often it's in the storms of life where God speaks so clearly to us. But he also gave Job a double portion blessing in the second half of his life. And so
yes.
I cling to that. And that is something I have seen God continually provide. But there's a scripture in Joel 2:25 that actually, to me, just drives that promise home. And it says, "I will restore the years the locusts have eaten, the large locust and the small locust." So what I've learned is whether we're hit with something big or dramatic, or we're dealing with those things that just kind of niggle away the small energies and time from us, it's empowering to know that God will give back that time to us, and he'll give back that energy. And I know for me, he's just done it repeatedly.
Oh, well, I was very interested when we first started talking and we were talking about hardships, because that's one of the things we teach at Christian Communicators, is that God doesn't waste any scars. You know, he uses those things, and that's how we have lessons and encouragement that we can share with other women. But even though I know that, this next question is a little bit scary for me, but I'm going to ask it anyway because I got to hear what you wanted to say specifically about this. But I remember you saying that you believe the laundry list of dramatic things that have happened to you actually provide the confirmation that God always intended for you to become a writer and speaker. Would you explain to us how you came to that conclusion?
I will, and I have to tell you, that was not a conclusion I came to early. I had to walk through many, many things before I finally had that epiphany. But it was when a friend came to me, and she said, after one particular thing, she goes like, "You know, I just have to tell you, things like this only happen to you and in Lifetime movies." And I was laughing, and I was like, yeah, and I just heard myself say, "I guess God always meant for me to be a writer and speaker, because he sure gave me a lot of stories." And after those words fell out of my mouth, I thought about it, and I thought, you know, what would I really have to share with people if I hadn't went through these tough times? What kind of encouragement or hope would I have to offer if it wasn't real and hadn't come through real life experience?
Oh, that is so true. That's a revelation. I remember before I became a speaker, I remember thinking, I wish I had a testimony, you know, I was a young, a teenager before drugs, so I didn't get involved in drugs. You know, I've not had affairs or any of the things that people think about with a testimony. And it was a real revelation to me when God showed me that the hardship I went through in my marriage was a testimony to His goodness and grace. So what you're saying, I've found that to be true for me as well. And, you know, Anita, as I've talked to other people, I've heard you described as being a speaker who is real, who's raw, you know, honest and transparent and relevant to the issues of the day. So would you just expound a little bit on how the hard times have made you more effective and more relatable to your audiences?
Absolutely. You know, one of the hardest things I think for those of us who write and speak professionally is to allow others to see into our souls. That's so excruciating, and it's so scary to think about how they might react to that. But yet, what I have found is, as I've taken the courage, and the Bible repeatedly from cover to cover says take courage, and I've often thought about how the word take is a verb. You know, that is something that we have to take action with. But when we take courage and we make ourselves vulnerable, there's an authenticity, I can't even say the word right now, that comes with that, but it prevents us from coming across as being too cheesy or watered down, or people thinking, oh, well, you know, that's all well and good for you, but your life is perfect. But when you open yourself up, the good stuff comes out of that, and that's when audiences and readers feel safe because they can approach you with their own hurts and problems. And I know I've had lines of people just wait to talk to me after presentation because I was intentional and I didn't hide my flaws or my fears or even my failures.
Right.
You know, I was able to just let them into my life.
Yes, yes. But we don't ever want to be the kind of speaker that sounds like we're saying we're really good Christian women, and maybe one day you can measure up to us, because it's so easy for the audience to think that, and to think that speakers have not been failures at something, have not sinned, have not whatever. And that's the first lie that we have to get out of the minds of our audiences. So I love that you said that. Love that you said that. Now, you mentioned in your first chapter of Getting Through What You Can't Get Over, you mentioned you learned a lesson from Auschwitz, something born from the true story. So what was that lesson? And could you share a little bit about that?
Sure. At the time that this took place, I was actually in the darkest period of my life. Honestly, I felt suicidal. I mean, I really wanted the Lord to just take me home. But, you know, God sometimes reaches down into those situations. I tell people all the time, you cannot experience a miracle if you don't first have a problem. And the bigger the problem, the greater opportunity you have for a miracle. Well, God sent one my way. And I went to a women's conference, and the speaker was a former prisoner of war in Auschwitz during the Holocaust. It was an incredible thing, and they had a meet and greet at lunch, and I'll never forget this. As I approached her, you know, she was shaking hands with people. I was watching as people went through the line, and it was just very brief and quick. But when I got to her, for whatever reason, she slapped the top of my hand, and she leaned close, and she had a very thick Hungarian accent. She said, "We must meet. God has spoken." Now, I looked over my shoulder because I was like, are you talking to me? You know, I was so shocked. But what ended up happening was she convinced me, and believe me, this woman was not taking no for an answer, but she convinced me to drive back to the city, which was almost an hour and a half away from where I lived, the next morning to meet her for breakfast. And as I sat across from the table from her, and she asked me, "What is this pain that is etched in your eyes?" She shared this with me. She said, "You are familiar with the 23rd Psalm, are you not?" And I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "I want you to take note. You must pay attention to the intent of his words. Notice it does not say slow down. It does not say stop. It does not say pitch a tent. It does not say build a house. It says walk. In the darkness, you may not feel like you can walk, but when you are very tired and you believe that you cannot go on, you have to walk anyway. Do not listen to the lies. You can do this, and you must. You must put one foot forward in front of the other and take one tiny step at a time. And when I walked away from that, I realized that this one meeting with this woman, and I've never met her again, but she changed my life. And now that is a message I am able to share with other people who are in really dark places. And this lesson from Auschwitz that I learned, not because I experienced that myself, but because I experienced it through her story, and then what that has taught me is other people can do the same through my stories.
Oh, wow. What a powerful message that the Lord gave you through her, and that you can give to others. He can use you to give to others. Amazing. Well, let's take a break. I hate that this time is getting by so fast, but we do want to stop and take a moment and let Carolyn open the phone lines for questions. So go ahead, Carolyn.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Wow. Anita has really opened our eyes, our hearts, and have encouraged us. So callers, you who are listening, be the first one to call in at 347-843-4920. Again, that number is area code 347-843-4920. Anita has offered two of her books autographed, and they are Getting Through What You Can't Get Over and Death Defied, Life Defined. Oh, Vonda, I turn it back to you as quick as possible so we can hear more from Anita.
Yes, I tell you what, I can't wait to hear about this one. Anita, when we were talking about the questions and things that you would be particularly interested in us talking about, you mentioned the SPIT. Yes, listeners, S-P-I-T, the SPIT method, to outline your presentations, because I love when you said you, Anita, bring the spit and the Holy Spirit brings the polish. Oh, my goodness. Would you tell us more about that and where in the world that came from?
Well, first I'll answer your second question. Where did it come from? I have no idea. I'll just call it a Holy Spirit inspiration.
There you go. There you go.
But I was thinking about, you know, we all know, those of us who speak publicly, that it takes time to practice and to hone the craft and to do it well. And as you go through, you just learn that there are very specific elements that help you, even though the message may be very different, still there's almost a somewhat of a formula that helps you be more effective with your audience. And so I realized for me that it's very simple, and this is where the SPIT acronym comes from. So for me to be really effective with audiences and reach them in their hearts and their minds, I tell a story. So there's always even a brief vignette, but there's somewhat of a story, because people really react to stories. And biblically, we look at how God used them so masterfully. So that's the S in my SPIT model. But then, what's my point? You know, so often, you know, we'll hear a speaker and it seems like they just jump here and there and everywhere, but you walk away and you wonder, what was the point? I mean, there were elements that were interesting. And so I always want to make sure that what I give my audience is a point, that they know that there's something that will resonate with them and that they can take home when they go. The third thing in the SPIT model is influence. So what influenced my thinking? What influenced my knowledge? So, you know, that's research and resources that, you know, I've gleaned. You know, that's any kind of credible thing that really creates a foundational piece to the message that I'm sharing. And then the last one is the takeaway, because let's face it, if I'm speaking, my presentation is not about me. It's about the audience.
Right.
If I'm writing, what I write is not about me. It's about the reader. So there needs to be a real takeaway, something that they can take and use in their own lives. So SPID is simply story, point, influence, and takeaway. And if I put all four of those elements in what I'm presenting, then every time I'll hear words like dynamic, inspirational, motivational, those type of things, because that formula comes together and it just creates something that, that works for people.
Oh, and that is so beautiful. I will never think of SPIT in the same way again.
Well,
I
and
love
I should,
that acronym.
And I should add
Vonda,
where I say that, you know, I bring the spit and the Holy Spirit brings the polish, you know, one of the other things, too, and I don't want to fail to share this, is I can create the spit model all day long, but if I do not call out to God's Holy Spirit to provide the polish, then it doesn't have the same impact. So it really is spit and polish together.
It is. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. And this next question I wanted to ask you is actually a double whammy of questions. But I know you've been able to take the heart of your Christian messages to reach even secular audiences. So the double whammy is, would you first tell us what kind of opportunities you've had open up, and then explain what your Seinfeld secret is?
Okay. So first off, the opportunities for speaking to secular audiences is something I find so many of my Christian peers miss. You know, there may be one small element, and this happened with Getting Through What You Can't Get Over. I mentioned, and I had done some research and ran across a little-known condition, but it's well-documented, that affects those who work in emergency services, and it's called compassion fatigue. And I just wrote a short segment in my book about this. But what that has done is opened up a plethora of opportunities for me to speak at hospitals, to speak at, police officer trainings and recruitments and things like that. There's just so much opportunity. So look at that and say, what in my body of work might I be able to pull out and glean and be able to speak to an audience that maybe is not typical of what I would try to reach?
Right.
And then the Seinfeld secret, this is something I just picked up from an interview where I heard Jerry Seinfeld speaking, and he was talking about how passionate he is about Superman. And he said that every episode of Seinfeld, if you watch it closely, they'll either refer to Superman or there's a superhero figurine placed in the background. But he makes sure that Superman is in every episode. So I took that concept and I thought about it when I'm speaking to secular audiences. And so I slip in at least one scripture in every presentation. And I figure whether it's they realize it's biblical or not, that I trust that God's word will not return void. So just because I'm speaking to a secular audience does not mean that I can't use scriptural references. I may not be able to say that's what it is, but my Seinfeld secret is I'm going to slip it in anyway.
Well, Carolyn has a great phraseology that she uses when she's talking to secular audiences, and she says that she uses the scripture but just doesn't give its address.
I love that.
I love that. I just thought, when the first time I heard Carolyn say that, I thought, wow, that is so awesome. So this next question is, I know, going to be a very heart-related question for you. And I know that in 2010, you learned a carefully guarded secret about yourself, but it taught you to crawl up into your daddy God's lap. So would you be willing to share what that secret was and how God has used it to help you fulfill his great commission?
Sure. I learned in 2002, and I'm going to just tell you, I was 46 years old, but I learned that my dad is not my biological father. And I have to tell you, that really threw me into a tailspin, because at 46, you don't expect to get that kind of news.
Right.
And there was a whole dramatic series of events that caused that secret to be revealed. But I had to go through a grieving period, and I went through an obsessive, like, searching season where I looked for my biological father, and I never did find him, and I'm okay with that. But I had to come to terms with how I was conceived, too. And it turns out that I'm actually the product of what I would call a date rape. And I have to tell you, that's a really hard, hard thing to discover about yourself, and especially when you have been called to a ministry of writing and speaking, which I already was. I was in the earlier stages then. You start questioning, did I misunderstand? How can I minister to other people when this is a situation? But what I did one day was I was just crying out to God, and I just told him, I said, I need something really personal from you right now. And so I cracked my Bible open, and it fell open to John 15. Now, I'm very familiar with this passage, but I had never noticed John 15:3. And this is what God said to me. And again, you have to understand, this goes back to how I was feeling about myself and my conception, because I was feeling very dirty and accidental and all of this just ugliness. And God said to me through John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken. And from that moment on, I knew that I was safe, and I could just scurry up into my daddy's lap. And, you know, I may not know who my earthly biological father is, but I know who my real daddy is. And since then, he's just taught me to take that painful situation and allow me to encourage others and offer the hope that they, too, can crawl up into his lap, you know, and that he's never too tired, he's never too grumpy or self-absorbed to hold us and soothe our hurts. So it's just one more example as a writer and a speaker how God can take those most painful places and just do miraculous and amazing things.
Oh, what a beautiful, beautiful picture of just as he says that he is our Father, and we're never alone. And those kinds of secrets that are guarded throughout our lives are hard to accept sometimes, but the good thing is they're not secrets from God. And he had planned, even before time began, that you would be able to use those very things that hurt so much, that those would be the very things that would draw you closer to him and a more powerful and relevant speaker and writer. So thank you for sharing that. We only have a minute left. I can't believe our time has gone by so fast. But is there anything else that you would like to share, particularly with writers and speakers, because that's our main audience? Anything else that we weren't able to share? Do you have a few more words to say?
Well, you know, I think I would just say, relating even back to what I just shared, you know, when I was in the throes of the grief and the confusion of that situation, at that time, I could not imagine how God might use that. But yet, today, he's using it in a powerful way. I can't even number the people who have come to me from audiences and whispered things in my ears about their own biology and their questions about identity and things like that. We don't know what God might use from our adversities to speak to an audience that we wouldn't have even have imagined existed. I had no idea that there was the vast number of people with identity issues that there are. But if I had kept that to myself and not been willing to share it with others, then not only would I miss out on the opportunities that I'm having, but they would have missed out on the blessing that God wanted to give them.
Yes, that's exactly right. And we shared that very point at Christian Communicators Conference. Oh, Anita, thank you. Thank you for sharing your insight and your experiences with us. I'm sure some of our listeners may be going through similar hardships even right now, and your words can be an encouragement to all of us, but specifically to those who are hurting at this very moment. So thank you for your transparency and for giving God the glory for what he's done. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. And friends, to find out more about Anita and her books and ministry, you'll want to check out her website at anitabrooks.com. And you can find her also on Facebook and Twitter. And thank you so much for joining us today. Without you, there'd be no reason to have Christian Communicators Live. And ladies, if you feel called to speak and don't know where to begin, or perhaps you're already speaking but want to learn how to grow your outreach and connect with other Christian women speakers, we hope you'll visit ChristianCommunicators.com, where we educate, validate, and launch women in their speaking ministries. We have a few openings left for our August conference, so we hope to see you there. We'd love to partner with you in ministry. Thank you for being with us today. Goodbye, and God bless.